This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Suicide is a difficult topic to discuss, but the suicide of a Roxbury man almost 5 years ago has inspired his father to encourage other African Americans to talk about the subject. He says the black community has avoided discussing suicide for too long. In the latest installment of our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, WBUR's Lynn Joliker has the story of that young Roxbury man who managed to fend off mental illness for years and how his suicide spurred his father into action.
Joseph Feaster Jr. is not a minister. He's a successful Boston attorney. But for the last 5 years, he's been doing a lot of preaching about a subject close to his heart.
My ministry right now, because it's even more personal, involves my son, is around mental health. If I can help the next person to understand it, to get through it, that's my being.
His son carried his name and was thereby Joseph Feaster III. He died by suicide in 2010 at the age of 27. His death came at a triple-decker on Elmore Street in Roxbury, not far from Dudley Square. That's where he had lived most of his life, first with his parents and sister, and then renting an apartment from his father.
This is the Horatio Harris Park. This is where he learned how to ride his bicycle, and he liked to run.
So when he was younger and playing here in the park, in his younger childhood years, you didn't have signs of mental illness?
No, not at all. I mean, he was a happy kid. He played here. He climbed the structures here. He would be with his sister and her friends. And he had a great smile.
Joseph's older sister nicknamed him Smiley. He played Little League baseball and then football in middle and high school in Newton, where he attended school through the Metco program. He got good grades and received awards for his academics and conduct, his father says. The first sign of any mental health issues was after Joseph returned from freshman year at the University of Pittsburgh in 2002. He had some type of psychotic break in which he was rambling incoherently and saying he was seeing and hearing things. Then he lunged at his father.
His eyes were, you know, it's like he had seen a ghost. So I left the apartment. I mean, I'm in tears at this particular point in time. But I had the wherewithal and the knowledge to know that there was this process, Section 12.
The elder Feaster wants to make sure other families know about and use Section 12. It's the state law that authorizes involuntary hospitalization of someone who poses a risk of serious harm to himself or others because of mental illness. Feaster went to Boston police, and they sent a special operations unit to Joseph's apartment. After breaking down the door and using beanbags to stun Joseph, officers removed him safely. He spent a short time in two hospitals and then started in an outpatient bipolar disorder program. But he wanted nothing to do with the medication and therapy advised by doctors, says his father, Joseph Feaster Jr.
There's denial. I don't have anything. There's nothing wrong with me. The medicine changes. When you're in a manic state, you can rule the world. Why would you want to take something that's going to bring you down?
For the next 7 years, his father says, Joseph showed no obvious signs of mental illness. He obtained a degree in political science from UMass Boston while making a living selling DVDs and CDs online. Then he got accepted to a new technological entrepreneurship master's degree program at Northeastern University. But during his first year, he had another psychotic break. Police were again called to his Roxbury apartment, and this time he reacted in an extreme way.
He jumped out of the third floor window carrying a samurai sword, took off, and as a result of that, he surrounded all these police officers, gun drawn, carrying his sword, and apparently a sergeant tackled him, and that's what probably saved his life.
The elder Feaster knows things could have ended much differently. Joseph was hospitalized for a week or two, and his father says this was the first and one of very few times Joseph acknowledged he might have bipolar disorder. He told the doctors he would take his medicine, and he was sent home, but again, he didn't follow the treatment. Joseph's next mental health break came more quickly, just 7 months later. This time, he took his own life.
I don't see any stigma from my son having had an illness. People will talk about, oh, so-and-so has breast cancer, so-and-so has lung cancer. But if you say, oh, wow, they had schizophrenia, you don't hear folks talking about it. Well, my sense is that's the silent disease in the African-American community.
There are other diseases besides mental illness referred to as silent epidemics among African Americans. But Feaster says the community has largely avoided discussion of mental health and suicide for specific reasons.
It was long held in the black community that that's not something that we're not going to kill ourselves because of the religious belief, but also we just don't do that. That's a white person's illness. Well, lo and behold, that turns out to be not true.
Boston NAACP President Michael Curry, who's a friend of Feaster's, agrees.
There's always warning signs that something's getting worse, and the warning signs have been there in communities of color.
Curry says mental illness and suicide have taken a back seat to other issues of concern in the black community, such as poverty, racism, and criminal justice, and those have taken a toll on mental health. He's hearing from clinicians in Boston's African-American community that suicide is on the rise, even if it's not yet reflected in confirmed suicide statistics. National data show the suicide rate for African-Americans has stayed fairly steady and significantly lower than for white Americans, though a recent study shows a suicide increase among black children. Curry says in assessing the risk of suicide in Boston's African-American community, he includes behaviors such as suicide by cop and drug abuse that leads to death. And no matter the method, he says, all of it demands action.
What I have to remind people often is it's all of our responsibility. If a kid commits suicide in Roxbury or is a victim of a drive-by in Roxbury, it should rock you to the core if you live in Wellington. You got to get off your butt and you got to figure out what your role is to be next to Joe to figure out how to save lives.
Joe Feaster Jr. is a former Boston NAACP president himself, and before he became an activist on the subject of suicide, he struggled not only with losing his son, Joseph III, but with concern about his son's soul.
To me, because of my belief in terms of one going on to heaven, because I asked my pastor if there was anything that would, with his having done this, well, my pastor said he could still go to heaven, notwithstanding because of the illness. And I believe that's where he is.
With that sense of peace, Feaster started a support group of sorts at his church, Morningstar Baptist Church in Mattapan. About 30 people came to the initial meetings to talk about mental illness and suicide.
When I started sharing about it, people started to share. And I remember one person said, you know, I thought my son was just being lazy, that he wouldn't get up, he wouldn't go to school, he wouldn't do, etc. Well, never recognized that he was suffering from depression.
Attendance eventually dropped off, so Feaster has redirected his focus to working with organizations including the National Alliance on Mental Illness of Massachusetts. And through it all, he says he often still refers to his son in the present tense. He believes Joseph still lives in loved ones left behind and through their fight for more awareness of mental health issues and suicide. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.
For suicide prevention resources and more of our series, Suicide, A Crisis in the Shadows, go to our website, wbur.org.